I'm going to be reading from 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is, of course, Paul and others writing this, and they're praying for the church in Colossae. And we pray this in order that you may have a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Blessing, Steve.
Just a note about this Indonesian map up here. In 2015, at my former church, just before Mennonite World Conference here in Harrisburg, there was a group. They had prayer teams that came early to pray for the event. And a group of them came to our church, and they gave this to this map of Indonesia so that we would pray for Indonesia and the upcoming conference sessions. And this, I guess it was going to be, last year? And then it was postponed a year. So anyway, this is a gift from a representative from Indonesia, just as a reminder to pray. So I thought it would be good for us to see that, to remind us to pray for the churches in Indonesia and the events this week. So we've been going through a focus on the book of Ruth over the last 3 weeks now. And just to recap a little bit, it started with Abimelech and Naomi leaving Bethlehem because there's a famine in the land, and they traveled to the foreign country of Moab and settle there. Their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, find wives amongst the Moabites. But over time, the three husbands, the three men in this family, all die. And so it leaves these three widows. And so Naomi hears that back home in Bethlehem, the Lord has visited his people and there's food again. And so she decides to go back, but she advises her two daughters-in-law to stay, to find husbands, to settle amongst your own people. But it says that Ruth clung to Naomi. And 2 weeks ago, I just shared there's a couple ways that we can cling to another. One is out of desperation. The other is out of determination. And Ruth seemed to, especially the second, she was determined to stay by Naomi's side, wherever she will go. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you live and settle, I'm going to live and settle there. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And may the Lord deal with me ever so severely if I don't carry out this vow. And so she travels with Naomi to Bethlehem. And in chapter 2, we see Ruth continues her devotion and to provide for the two of them. She goes out into the fields to glean. And gleaning is a way that the law of God that he gave at Mount Sinai was a way to care for the poor. So that those who were harvesting were told not to harvest right to the edges, and others could come along behind and gather up what was left over to provide for themselves. And so that's what Ruth was doing. And we focused last week, the key word was providence. The guiding hand of God seemed to be at work through all this. And it just so happened that Ruth picked the fields of Boaz, a relative of Naomi. And Boaz was exceedingly generous and caring towards Ruth, giving her extra barley, telling his harvesters to leave behind extra grain for Ruth to protect her from the men there. And so Boaz was especially caring of Ruth, because it says, he even says, he admits that he's heard how loyal Ruth was to Naomi through all of this. And Naomi, when Ruth comes home, Naomi recognizes that Boaz is this close relative, and he's in this key position to act on their behalf. He's described as a kinsman redeemer. And we want to really focus on that word redeemer today. But the Hebrew word is goel, and it describes someone who's a close relative and who has the obligation to redeem another family member. And so we'll get into what redeeming means. But Boaz is in this one of the key positions to really act on behalf of Naomi and Ruth. So one day, Naomi says to Ruth, and now we're getting into chapter 3, I must find a home for you, Ruth, so that you'll be well provided for. And she thinks about Boaz again, this close relative. And so she instructs Ruth to clean up, to put on her best clothing, and to go to the threshing floor that evening and to lie at Boaz's feet and to do whatever he says at that point. And really what she's going to do is to present herself potentially for marriage to Boaz. Kind of a risky and vulnerable thing to do here under the cover of night, and to kind of present herself before Boaz like this. And so in the middle of the night, Boaz wakes up. He's startled. He says, who's there? Who's laying at my feet? And Ruth says, I am your servant. Spread your wings or your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer of our family. Interestingly, when in the chapter before, when Boaz praises and blesses Ruth for her great loyal love towards Naomi, he says this, prays this blessing over her. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So in a sense, now Ruth is saying that blessing you prayed that God would spread his wings over me, would you yourself carry that out and take me as your own and care for me? And so here's the point, you know, how's Boaz going to react to all of this? And Boaz's response is, the Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed before. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. And so he's willing to marry Ruth. But he says there is a closer relative, one who's in the position to redeem in this situation. And when Ruth gets home and tells Naomi all this, Naomi says, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For this man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Just remember that phrase. When we think about redeemers, when we think about Jesus as our redeemer, this man will not rest until this matter is settled, until he acts on your behalf. So just a couple thoughts here on what this means to be a redeemer. There's several ways that a relative, a close relative, would act to redeem according to the law of Moses. And so it's a relative who steps forward to act when a relative is facing some kind of hardship. One example would be someone falls into debt, and so he needs to sell himself as a slave because he can't pay back that debt. What a redeemer will step in and do is pay that debt so that that person in slavery is free again. Think about all these things spiritually as I talk about them with how Jesus is our redeemer. But it's also true with land. If you fall into hardship and you need to sell land, because you need that, the support of that, that money, a redeemer again would step in, buy that land for you. And the third way that someone could redeem is to step in and marry a childless widow, like Ruth, for example, so that the name and the inheritance of that family can continue. Because at this point, a childless widow is not able to continue the family line. So the Redeemer would step in and be able to continue the family line. So Boaz, the next day, he's not going to rest till this is settled. So the next day he goes to the town gate, and the town gate's where all the business happens, where all the decisions are made and people gather and discuss things. And so it just so happens again, in all the story, it just so happens these providential things happen. But just then this closer relative walks through, the gate, and Boaz goes up to him and gives this proposal. And he also calls 10 elders together to witness all of this. And he tells this closer relative that Naomi is selling a portion of land that belongs to Elimelech, our relative, and you have the opportunity to redeem it. And in doing so, that's going to provide some security for Naomi. And so this man agrees to do that. It's a good investment. Boaz continues, but when you do this, you will also be acquiring Ruth, or you'll be redeeming Ruth to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. So to carry on the name and the inheritance of Elimelech and his sons, you will also marry Ruth. You will step in as a redeemer in that way as well. At this point, it doesn't sound so great to this other closer relative, because no longer will that land that he purchases stay within his family, but now if there's the potential, if Ruth is married, now there's going to be the potential of a son who's going to be the heir to the property and of Elimelech. I hope this is making sense. And so in this case, he's going to make this purchase. He's going to put out those resources, but then in 20 years, this heir is going to come of age and be granted that land back in the name of Elimelech. And so he says, I'm going to put out all this and lose it in the end. And so that's not a good deal for me, as a paraphrase. And so he says no to that proposal. And so Boaz kind of steps forward and he makes this announcement amongst the people and the elders there. Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite. Kind of strange phrasing. I have acquired Ruth, you know, as my wife. What I find positive about this story is, Boaz doesn't seem ever to act just for transactions. You can see a lot of love and respect towards Ruth in this story. But I'm taking her as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with the property, so that his name will not disappear from among his people or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. So Boaz steps forward to act as a redeemer. It's interesting what the transaction when the other relative says, I'm going to say no to this. It says he takes off his shoe, and I think he hands it to Boaz. But I think it's the only time it's mentioned in Scripture. But one commentator says it. You know, we often think of when you're ready to do something, you put your shoes on and you're ready to go. Like in the armor of God, we have feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're ready to go. Boaz is ready to go here and to be the redeemer. This other guy's not. He's taken off his shoe now. You know, I don't want to move in that direction. But Boaz does. And so, and Ruth, I think often in this story is also portrayed as one who's determined and is ready to act on behalf of her mother-in-law and their well-being. So I think both Ruth and Boaz, we have this picture of those who are ready to step in there. They are determined to act, on behalf of others. So with that background in mind, I just want to give some thoughts about this idea of redemption. Redemption is going from a broken place, a place of pain, or a place which, what is truly intended seems to have fallen apart, to a restored and a beautiful place, a place that, a situation, a setting that God seemed to intend for our lives. Think about Ruth and that song we sang, was really helpful to think about Ruth. Naomi. Naomi means pleasant, but when she arrives in Bethlehem, she says, "Call me bitter, because that's what my life is all about. The Lord has turned against me." But by the end of the story, she's blessed. At the end of chapter 4, after Ruth marries Boaz and has a son, the women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a redeemer. May this grandson, become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." And Naomi took this child in her arms and cared for him. And the women living there said, "Naomi has a son!" Exclamation point. You know, restoration, redemption. She's come to this pleasant place again. I remember when I was finishing up seminary and I had to write an integration paper, kind of pulling it all together. And I might have shared this story a year ago during my, when I was candidating, but just this really key moment. I started out this paper with this story, which happened previous to seminary when I was working at Good Shepherd Rehab as a physical therapist. And there's this young man, like in his early 30s, had a massive stroke, just really was disabled by this. And there was this time where he stood up in the parallel bars and he walked through kind of haltingly, but he made it to the other end. And his wife was just tears coming down her face. And there's just this hope that after the devastation of this, incident, this stroke, that maybe, maybe life can be restored physically as he had it before. Redemption is going from a place of brokenness towards a place of restoration, and where things are as they should be, as God intended. So in Colossians 1, that Chris read for us, we are redeemed from this dominion of darkness. And Paul says we're redeemed into the kingdom of light, into the inheritance of God's holy people. We're redeemed into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So, along with being forgiven and being part of God's holy people, I love how Paul says we're redeemed not just into the kingdom of light and what's good and right and righteous, but into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Like, that we become part of the beloved of God and all that he offers to us. Redemption. And so, you know, this is such a powerful understanding, or, you know, it feels like a churchy word, maybe, redemption, but it's powerful. It's what God is all about. And that's what I wanted to say about that integration paper. To me, like, it really centers on this good news that God is one who restores and reconciles and redeems. So when we're in the dominion of darkness, We can't see our way. We're groping about. We've lost our way. We're powerless to do what's right. In the beginning, when there's darkness and chaos, God created light and he spoke order and he spoke life, you know, and it was good. There's somehow this beginning redemption. And remember what we've been saying about freedom. Freedom in Christ is our theme for the year. But being released from the force or the power that restrains us from the true and abundant life that God has created for us. So whether that's in our life in general, we're released from the power of darkness and sin, into the life that God has for us today and forever. But also in all these small ways in our life, whatever has become a stronghold to keep us from God and his goodness, we can experience freedom towards true life. But for redemption to happen, we need a redeemer to step up. You know, Ruth and Naomi needed a redeemer to step up on their behalf. Someone willing to carry out that responsibility to be this, to take on that responsibility of being a redeemer. And so Boaz steps forward and he's described as a man of substance, which is a really good way to think about someone who takes on this responsibility. He was probably a wealthy man, a lot of influence, but we see in the story he has substance because he's willing to step up and take that responsibility to redeem, to somehow, with Ruth and Naomi and the plight that they had, to step up on their behalf and bring them to a place that is right and pleasant for them. And like I said, Ruth, with her loyal love, also continually steps up on behalf of Naomi in this story. And she's described as a woman of substance or a woman of noble character. May that be a challenge to us. In Lamentations, obviously a book full of laments, and someone speaking out their griefs and woes, but Lamentations, these powerful phrases or verses, you know, your mercies are new every morning, Lord, great is your faithfulness. But also in Lamentations, it says, God, you came near me when I called to you and you said, don't fear. You, Lord, you took up my case and you redeemed me. You know, a redeemer is someone's willing to step up and take up that case, on our behalf. If Peter says in 1 Peter, you know that it wasn't with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You know, a redeemer has to put out something, has to pay something in order to redeem, or has to, if he takes on and brings someone in as his wife, you know, he's making that commitment. For Jesus, it was giving his very life, the precious blood of Christ on our behalf. So we praise Jesus for his willingness to step up and serve as our Redeemer, the one who loves us and gave his life for us. Just like, Naomi and Ruth were full of praise for Boaz to step up. And I just want to close with this thought, that the church, who's the body of Christ, we partner with Jesus to bring redemption to this world. We praise Jesus for being our Redeemer. But in being the redeemed, we join Jesus to help bring this redemption to the world. Just like Boaz spread out his wings to cover Ruth, acting on behalf of God and doing that, we also act on behalf of God to help step up and stand in the gap for other people to be redeemers in Jesus' name. Paul says we've been reconciled with God, and so we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. We could say the same thing about redemption. We've been redeemed by God through Jesus, And now we've been given a ministry of redemption. And we do that by pointing people towards Jesus, the Redeemer. And we also do that in any way we help people to go from a broken place to a place of restoration, a place of shalom in their lives. We do that with, we're doing that with the Safi family. In the struggles of being a refugee family, trying to help them to a more pleasant place, a place where their life is can be centered and whole again in a new place. Whenever we're an advocate for people who are forgotten or who are powerless and speak or act on their behalf, we're a redeemer. In a sense. Whenever, for example, we support couples who are looking to reconcile their marriage, you know, trying to bring them from a place of brokenness to healing, we're acting as redeemers. And so a redeemer steps up and assumes that responsibility. So in conclusion, I want to quote Job. Job says, "I know that my redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth." And that's the hope we live with as Christians, that our Redeemer one day is gonna stand here on earth, surrounded by his redeemed. And we will live in the glorious peace and goodness and perfection of God for all time. And so, we look forward to that final and total redemption in the times to come. And so hopefully we have a better understanding of redemption. It's not just a word that we throw around in church and not quite sure what that means, but to help to bring from a place of brokenness to a place of wholeness and restoration and healing by the power of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord God, you are our Redeemer. You are in the redeeming business. You redeemed the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt. You continually work to redeem your people and to bring them, call them back to you. You sent our true and full Redeemer in Jesus. We weren't redeemed through silver or gold, but only through the precious blood of Jesus. And so we give you thanks and praise. We pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can join you in the work of bringing redemption to this world, bringing shalom and wholeness where there is brokenness and pain. Oh Lord, we ask that your redeeming power and love would come in all fullness in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.